From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made with the launch of a new website from businessman and philanthropist Tom Golisano. It's called Tax My Property Fairly. Golisano has made it his mission to help educate property owners about assessments and to call for change. This fight appeared, to some, to have started recently, when Tom declined to pay $90,000 in property taxes to the Naples School District. He's unhappy with what's happened on his property on Canandaigua Lake. And you might have heard Golisano had an issue, by the way, with geese covering his property with their droppings. But he says this is an issue going back much further, and it is not just about his own properties. His new website allows all property owners to get educated and to think about the actions they can take. This week, he rolled out the website and offered some data. For example, in comparing assessment versus home sale price, he found that 29% of properties are overassessed. What should be done about it? Among other things, he wants uniform certification and training for assessors across the state. Right now, Golisano says it's too inconsistent and unfair to property owners. So this hour, we want to hear from you. Do you agree? What has your experience been? Have you tried to challenge an assessment? Tom Golisano, welcome back to Connections. Thanks for being here.
Nice to be here, Evan. Thank you much.
Well, you know, I want to start with a little reminder for listeners about why you're doing this, because, again, I know the recent news stories got most of the attention lately, but this is not just about the property on Canandaigua Lake. It's not just about the geese. It's going back many years for you, isn't it?
Yes. It's not certainly not about the property on Canandaigua Lake. But my experiences with tax assessment issues, and maybe some of it's got a lot of it's got to do with the fact that my properties are somewhat different or unique than most properties. But the fact of the matter is I've been through the process. I've had to go through the legal process three times to get ridiculous assessments reduced. For example, I built a home out in Mendon, and it was initially assessed at $6 million. Nobody's ever bought or sold a house in Monroe County, at least up until that time, for more than $2 million. So I don't know what the angle is, but the fact of the matter is my taxes would have been $200,000 a year. So obviously that triggered my interest, ended up with, I appealed to the town board. They reduced it significantly by $1 million. Then I had to go to court twice to get it reduced down to finally what I consider to be reasonable, and that's under $2 million. But it was a very expensive, tedious process, expensive because of the legal fees that I had to endure to make this happen. Now, people in Monroe County and across the state, we know two things about New York State. The first primary thing is our taxes are way too high compared to the rest of the world, particularly cities very like Rochester around the country. Our real estate, our total taxation picture is so high. For example, a home in Florida, and I'll pick on Florida because I know Florida, is
you live there.
The tax, the real estate tax, is 1% of market value. Here it ranges from 3 to 4 to 5%, and even some counties up north in New York State. So our real estate taxes compared to the rest of the country are just ridiculously high. But the other part of the problem is how do they determine our real estate taxes? And they use a process called the assessment. The assessment is where an employee of the town or the village or the county goes around and puts a market value, a theoretical market value, on a home. And then the taxes are based on the assessment or market value of the home. Now, you have one person doing this. The range of certification and training for having this job varies greatly from community to community. How a person can make an efficient, effective assessment of a value of a property without even going inside the property, because 99% of the time they do not. So what's happened because of this unique process? Well, the fact of the matter is I took it upon myself to do some research and find out what is really happening when you compare market value versus the assessment, or the sale price versus the assessment. Now, comparing the sales price, I mean, that's fact. The assessment is fact. So let's say that if we looked at a group of homes and we looked at how many homes were sold at less than the assessment, or more than the assessment. Now, obviously, if they're sold for less than the assessment, people say, gee, did I overpay? Well, let me give you some information. In Albany and Rensselaer County, 39% of the homes were overassessed. 39%. These are actual sales now. These aren't speculations. Broome County, 51%. Erie County, 22%. Monroe County, 29% of the homes sold. The assessment was higher than the sale value. Now, that tells you people have had to pay, not just 1 year, but over a period of years, a higher level of taxes because it's based on an assessed price versus a real price, and that is the sale price. Now, I understand you have sometimes extenuating circumstances in a sale, for example, a father selling a home to a daughter or a son or sister to a brother or something like that, or a real distress situation, which those things happen. But generally speaking, the variances between sales price and assessment are huge. Now, I'm going to give you one more. Let's assume for a moment, okay, assessor, we'll allow you a 10% variance. In other words, if you look at a house at $200,000 and you assess it at $180,000 or all the way up to $220,000, that's 10% off that $200,000. That sounds, you know, it could be somewhat fair, but 10% is still a lot. Well, listen to this. In Monroe County, ...48% of the homes were underassessed by more than 10%. Now, you could say, well, those people should be paying more taxes, shouldn't they? If the thing is to be fair. And 16% of the homes that were transferred in June in Monroe County were higher than a 10% variance off the assessment. So obviously, those people are are having to pay significantly more. So what do we want to have happen? Well, the first thing, I think these people have sold their homes for under the assessment. They have a justification in suing the county and state governments. And the best way we think to do this is with a class action suit. So in our website, Tax My Property Fairly, there's a web page there that you can sign up. We want you to provide some basic information if you feel you felt in that category. And we are going to organize a class action suit against the state and also various towns and villages.
All right. So let's say my home was assessed at $100,000. I was only able to sell it for $80,000. Your view is that for however many years I was paying taxes based on that $100,000 assessment, I've been overtaxed and I should be part of your lawsuit.
That's exactly correct, because the basic theory of real estate taxes in this state is market value. And they assign an assessment value, theoretically, that's supposed to be close to the market value. But when that doesn't happen, you have situations like the one you just described.
Now, in Monroe County, you said 29% of home sales indicate that the property owner was overassessed. And wouldn't that mean that maybe up to 71% of people were paying fewer taxes than they should? You got
28% that fall in within the 10%.
Okay.
But then the other 44% were underassessed by a significant amount, by more than 10%.
Okay. So if I was assessed at 100 and I sold it for 130, mm-hmm. should I then go back and pay some back taxes that I should have owed?
I don't think anybody's going to do that. And I don't think there's ever any litigation that's going to be utilized to force that to happen. What needs to happen is we got to come up with a better system. Because, you know, to go back and tell people they got to make up for this tax loss or tax non-payment over a period of years, that's not going to happen. So by forcing it on the other side, people that were over-assessed, we think we can get some action now from our legislature and the rest of our state to use a more equitable system.
Is the idea of a class action lawsuit a good form of saber rattling to get them to actually do something, or do you think you're actually going to go forward with a lawsuit?
Well, at the rate people are signing up for it, I think there's a lot of people out there that actually want us to do it. And quite frankly, if we don't get a good positive reaction from our governments, I think we should go forward with it.
How many people have signed up already?
Well, by 9 o'clock this morning, the thing was only out yesterday afternoon, 37 had signed up.
37 people already.
Yeah. But what's going to happen this weekend, Evan, we're running ads in all the major newspapers across the state, encouraging people to come to the website and I'm sure the numbers will increase dramatically then.
All right, listeners, so let's hear from you on this. Tell us about your story if you want to. 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. My guest for the hour is Tom Golisano. His new website is taxmypropertyfairly.com, and it is the launch of this campaign to get some real change here. Now, what have New York State representatives, from Senator Funky to others on the town levels, et cetera, what have they been telling you privately or publicly about this, Tom?
Well, I've met with Rich Funky and Brian Cole. Brian's the minority leader in the Assembly, and Rich Funky's a member of the New York State Senate. Both of them have been very interested in the topic. I talked to Rich a few days ago, and he suggested to me or said to me that there's a bill being considered to increase the credential requirement for assessors. And I think that's an excellent step forward as an interim. I talked to John Flannery, who's Speaker of the New York State Senate, and he's very sympathetic to the problem. I think, though, they got to scratch their heads a while and try to find out a different solution to how we tax.
Now, when Senator Funky talks about increasing the credentials required to become an assessor, there are lots of bills that never go anywhere. Is this going to be one of those?
I understand your statement. I hope not.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Have you paid your $90,000 to the Naples School District?
No.
Are you going to?
Doesn't look like it in the near future because, from what I understand, they haven't done anything about the geese problem.
Okay. Now, in this case, are you worried that eventually students are going to be hurt here in this case?
No.
Not at all?
No.
$90,000
is a small part of their budget. And quite frankly, about the Naples School District, in recent years, they've had two referendums where they skirted around the 2% tax cap and actually increased taxes to people in their district by 5% 2 years in a row. So, I'm not concerned about them.
Okay. Now, again, we're going to get to our listeners in a second. Maggie, we'll get your call in a moment. Again, listeners, you can call the program. We've got some lines open. I'll take some emails. And just like the last time Tom was here, I do not want to spend the hour on geese. Now, you just mentioned they haven't done much about the geese issue. Remind listeners what the grievance is with the geese.
Well, I have a property on Canandaigua Lake, and it's a lot of green lawn. It's got a 2,900-square-foot house on it. It's about 60 years old. I pay $142,000 a year in real estate taxes, and a lot of it has to do with the value of the land. It's 850 feet of frontage. Well, the last summer, and a little bit the summer before, but mainly last summer, there were so many geese on the property at all times, or most of the time, that I could hardly use the property. Because of the geese droppings, I couldn't invite even my grandchildren over to the house and let them play on the lawn because there was so much of it. And, of course, with the dogs, you know, I do have a couple dogs. They could bring the stuff in the house. It's just awful. I couldn't invite friends or relatives or anything over the place. But yet I'm expected to pay $142,000 for this privilege. So to make a statement, and I think I've made the statement, I refuse to pay my school taxes, which are due in September. And it doesn't look like I'm going to pay my town and county tax, which is due the end of January. I'd like to see some action on behalf of the government about what they're going to do about the geese. The common reaction from them to me is, well, hire somebody to stay on the property all the time and chew the geese away. Well, I could do that. I would have to go through the expense of doing it. But then the geese will just move over to my neighbor's property. So what are we solving? We're solving nothing. So I'm holding out. Hopefully they'll get their arms around it and do something.
Well, here's an email from a listener named Eric who sent this morning in advance of your appearance. It says, Evan, why has no one asked Tom Golisano the following question? Tom, did you truly not know the environmental consequences of owning so much lakefront property and rarely using it? Of course the geese are going to be attracted to your land. Some people have said, well, you're selfish for using up so much land, even though you're almost never there. I just think it's ignorance. This is a problem that just about anyone would have seen coming.
I don't agree with that, and I'll tell you why. I've owned property on the lake for over 25 years, and I never had any kind of a problem at all with geese until the year before last. And it started out very minor the year before last, but this summer, to pull into my driveway and see 100 to 200 geese on my property, do you know how scary that is? Geese are a very aggressive animal, and they leave a lot of droppings all over the place. So this is not something that has been going on for years and years. It's just the last year or two that it's been a real problem.
All right, and so I know you're also someone who is a champion of personal responsibility, and you're a man of great means. So why not say, okay, this is a big property. I'm not there very often. This is a new problem, but I've got to be responsible for handling it. I've got the resources to do it. I'll take care of it.
I could do that, but why am I paying my taxes? Why am I paying these taxes? The role of government is to protect my property. It's not add additional burden because the federal government decided to protect this species.
But the government didn't put the geese on your property.
They did in a sense because the federal government has put real limitations and restrictions on what you can do with them. In other words, can you annihilate them? Can you shoot them and all that? And the answer is not very well. And quite frankly, I'm not interested in shooting geese.
Okay.
Just as a person, I'm not interested in killing geese.
So moving on from this, the last question is, has the government actually, has anybody on any level told you what they want you to do about the geese or what they plan to do about the geese?
They have told me nothing about what they plan to do about it. And the only thing they can say to me is all the things that we've already done. Like we lined the property with fishing line at the shoreline and about 15 to 20 feet inside, a double layer. Didn't do any good. We put all kinds of little animals, fake animals on the property, hoping that would keep them off. We've gone to Country Gentlemen and bought the worst awful spray you can put on your lawn to see if you can keep them off the lawn. That didn't work. The only real way you can do it is to have somebody there 24 hours a day, and every time they show up, shoo them off. But I can tell you what happens. You can shoo them off the property. Generally what happens is they'll go out into the water about 30 or 40 yards. They'll sit there and wait until you leave, and then they come back onto the property. Now, I'm sorry I got beautiful, nice grass, but that should be able to be my privilege without having, you know, something destroy it all the time.
But going back to Eric's email, why own that big of a property if you're not going to be there very much? Why not just sell it then?
It's my right to own it, no matter how often I'm there. Why do I have to justify that?
Okay. Let me get to the phone calls. This is Maggie in Rochester. I'm with Tom Golisano. Go ahead, Maggie.
Hi. I just wanted to make a statement that it's not really apples to apples to compare the property tax rate in our area to those in Florida or even those in Westchester. That one of the reasons that our rates are higher than Florida's is we have a much better education system, that much better quality of education. And one of the reasons that our rates are higher than the rates in Westchester is because our average house price is lower, and we have essentially the same quality of education, so we have to spread that over a lower base.
Well, I might agree with your statement of Florida, but I'm talking about cities like Dayton, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, cities in Pennsylvania, cities in Louisville, Kentucky, Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm not talking just about Florida. And if you look at the tax rates, and I've put them out in the past, and maybe we should put them out again for you, is if you compare our tax rates based on the market value of the homes compared to those cities, we are above and beyond what they are. You know, New York State, it ranges probably from 3 to 5% of market value. There's no cities close to that.
Right. You also have to look at quality of services.
Yeah.
There's a lot in both the numerator and denominator. You can't just look at the division of those and compare those across any city.
Well, let me ask you a question. The fact that Monroe County or Western New York has the highest taxes in the nation compared to market value, doesn't that tell you something is wrong? All you got to do is talk to people about how they feel about their taxes, and they'll tell you. They're way too high. And if you're a mature couple, for example, on retirement, small pension, some savings, and you're paying $7,000 to $10,000 on property taxes, you can't afford to stay here. And that's why people leave New York State. If it wasn't for the immigration into New York City, New York State would be losing a lot of people every year.
So, Maggie, do you disagree with that?
I partially disagree with that, although we know that Mr. Golisano himself has moved to Florida for 6 months and a day to escape income tax, and we do need to address the high taxes here. But it's not apples to apples.
Nothing is apples to apples when you're comparing communities. But I'll tell you, when we're at the top of the range and everybody else is below us, there's something going on.
All right. Thank you, Maggie. Listeners, we want to hear from you about your assessments. Do you think they are fair? Do you have anything you want to share with us? What do you think about Tom Golisano's new effort, TaxMyPropertyFairly.com? You can call the program right now, 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Richard in Greece writes to us and says, as usual, the problem is government spending, not the assessment. It is the town board and especially the school board, not the assessor. What do you think, Tom?
Well, he's absolutely right when it comes to the quantity of taxes that are raised by our state and local governments. They do spend more than. For example, the cost of education per pupil in New York State's the highest or second highest in the country. Well, that's why our taxes have to be higher to substantiate that. Now, you may disagree or agree with the fact that we need to have the first or second highest cost per student, but the fact is it's up there. And if we continue on that track and the growth rate of taxes, you know, if Cuomo puts together that 2% cap, well, if the taxes are already way too high, what good does it do to put a 2% cap on it? The rate of inflation is approximately 2% today, so it's very high taxation with a factor in there for the rate of inflation.
Tom, I know you've made efforts at the governor's office in the past. You done with that? Done running for office?
I believe so.
Okay. That wasn't a full denial. You believe so. The governor was out with his budget address yesterday. If you were the governor of this state, what's the first thing you would do regarding property taxes?
We need to find a better way to calculate them. The issue, there's two issues. One, how high they are, but that's one issue. The real second issue that I'm focusing on is how they calculate them. It's impossible, in my opinion, and the statistics bear it out, for assessors to make value judgments on the value of a property. The value of the properties vary greatly. You know, there's the seasonality. There's the issue of the overall economy. There's the issue of what people have done on the inside of their house or what improvements they've made. And an assessor with the level of training and the number of homes they have to deal with just can't adequately do a good job. So my recommendation is we find a different method to calculate the real estate tax. You know, when real estate taxes 20, 30, 40 years ago were low compared to, let's say, our family budgets, it was one thing. But today they've gotten so large, it's such a big factor now in our family's economic stream.
But would you just create a more simple formula for it, or what would you do?
Well, you know, I think there's several things you can do. First of all, upgrade the quality of the assessors. I mean, that's a given. There's another theory, and it's just a theory. I'm not advocating it today, but to base the tax assessment on the square footage of the house. The town assessors, the town already has a square footage of every house. Everybody would know that they are paying exactly the same tax as everybody else that's got the same square footage house. Simple as that. It would take all this controversy, all this pleading for lower assessments, all this overpayment of taxes, right out of the picture. Everybody would be treated fairly. Now, I haven't thought it all out and see if it's really workable, but it's a suggestion. And all we're looking for is legislators to get involved in this problem and do something about it.
All right, back to the phones we go. Mike in Brighton on next with Tom Golisano. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello. I just want to make a comment as somebody who has tried to hire people from out of New York State. My guesstimate would be that at least 25% of those people comment about it, and 50% of the people that won't come is because I can't compensate them in the paycheck as much as they perceive they are going to be paying to live the American dream, buy a house, and live here in Monroe County in order to work for us. They say, well, you got to pay for my house about every 12 years in taxes. And they just don't come.
Mike,
so I think it's one thing to say, hey, you know, the people that live here, they can't afford the houses they've got. We can't hire people to attract them to upstate New York when our taxes are just too high.
Mike, I agree with you. Obviously, I worked at Paychex for a number of years and had to deal with the issue of relocating people to upstate New York, specifically Rochester. And we got, you know, that kind of conversation involved all the time. People would look at the real estate taxes, and they'd look at the utility costs, and they'd look at the income tax and the sales tax. I mean, we're at the top of the range on everything here. So dealing with that second issue, why our taxes are so high, is obviously very, very important. I'm trying to focus today now on the assessment process as a method of taxation.
All right, Tim in Pittsburgh, next on with Tom Golisano. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Evan. Maggie's statement was laughable if it wasn't so serious. I mean, I live in Pittsburgh. We have great schools, but pay more per student for kids in the city, and they have some of the worst, if not the worst, school district in the country. So I don't know where she was going with that. But my house, is there any chance, and I think it happens in California, I'm not sure about other states, is there any chance of us going to an assessment where the house is assessed after you sell it? So if I put in so much into the kitchen and the bathrooms and everything to upgrade the house, it's not assessed until you actually sell it, so you're not getting whacked for actually improving your house. Because really, I mean, you've got a lot of people who are saying, why should I dump tens of thousands of dollars into a kitchen or, you know, bathrooms, when the next time the assessor is going to come around, my taxes are going to skyrocket again. By the way, I've lived in our house for 6 years. Our taxes stayed, I think, flat for 1 year. The other five have gone up somewhat dramatically. But, you know, you're just deterring people from actually putting money in their house. But I don't know if that's even a possibility of going to that system, or if you know anything about it, Tom.
Well, the comment on this, that if we went to a square foot system, square footage of the residents, it would encourage people to upgrade their house because they would know that their taxes will not be increased. But the environment you just described today is real. You add a room, you add a garage, you add a swimming pool, you're asking for more taxes. It's a system that works you in the negative way.
So in other words, Tom, I think it sounds like in the system that you're proposing, there's a baseline, you know, based on the size of the home, the property, there's a baseline that everybody pays. Now, if I buy the home and then I want to make these improvements and then I sell it for $25,000 more, the next assessment can be based on that higher sale price, right? But not what I'm paying. No? The assessor is still going to be, okay.
Forget market value.
Okay.
It's going strictly to square footage.
Strictly to square footage, even with the improvements. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Now, what may change is the tax rate that the town imposes upon you. But as far as the value of the house, the assessment value of the house, it stays the same forever.
Okay, regardless of the improvements. Yeah. Got it.
Now, remember, this is just an idea. I'm not advocating it yet.
Okay.
It's an interesting idea.
Okay. Alex in Rochester next, but Tom Golisano. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, Tom. One of the things I want to know is your opinion on the problem we have in that so many of the large commercial and industrial projects pay no taxes. And that is one of the large reasons, particularly in places like Rochester or Henrietta or Greece, why the taxes are so high, because such a large percentage of the total value is untaxed.
That's right. And the reason it happens is governments use this as an incentive to get these companies or corporations into their jurisdiction. And it does cause a situation where a lot of properties do go untaxed for some number of years. What you do about it, I don't know how you can discourage towns and villages from giving tax breaks to corporations because they want to create jobs in their community. They want to do it. It's within the law.
But I don't know about Naples, but I know in among a number of the other closer suburbs, this is really the thing that's pushed the taxes up so much. And so any change is not going to result in, because they still have to raise all the money from just the homeowners. So, you know, it seems that we're stuck in this catch-22 in which in order to get jobs, we have to give away taxes, but that makes our tax rate so high that no one wants to be here.
Yeah. Let me give you another one on top of this that I know bothers a lot of people. Did you know in New York State, if you are a condominium owner, your taxation on your real estate is generally one-third to one-half of what it would be if it was a regular home residence. In other words, if you have a $200,000 home and a $200,000 condo, the condo owner is paying a third to half of what the $200,000 homeowner is paying. Now, why did that happen? New York City. You know, so many people live in New York City, and New York City has a local income tax. That means people in New York City that work in New York City have to pay an income tax and real estate taxes on their condominium. Well, we don't have local income taxes north of New York City or west. So why are condo owners getting this tax break? Something I've wondered about, and I don't think is fair.
It isn't. But what I'm wondering is maybe we should shift. Instead of using property taxes to pay for schools and local government, to a collected income tax.
That's a thought. That's a thought. Some communities across the country do have local income taxes. It's not unusual. It's not the norm, but they do exist out there.
Here's an email that comes from a listener who's sort of echoing some of what Tom just said. Bob writes and says, "We are a newly retired couple living on a relatively small fixed income, but paying $8,000 in annual property taxes. Plus, we've never had any children. We will leave New York State as soon as possible."
That's the reality. I mean, people at the maturity level and on fixed incomes have to deal with these high property taxes. You know, it's a shame. They've had these homes for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and have to wake up one day and say, "I can't afford to stay in my house." I mean, that's tough.
Harry wants to know if Tom has tried to use ultrasonic noise or dogs to drive away the geese on his property.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Didn't work.
Didn't work. The dogs are fine as long as you're there to make sure they stay by the shoreline. But who's going to be there 24 hours a day to make sure that it happens?
Sarah says, "I would love to hear Tom address how many of us live in very old houses. Mine is 1854. How can the taxes keep going up on such a thing? History-loving New Yorkers then frown when I have no money left for big jobs. It costs $690 a month to rent this old house from the government, and I have to care for this nearly 200-year-old structure." What do you think, Tom?
No, that's the same problem. It's a very high tax rate and on lower, perhaps, market value. But the assessment process brought them to this point.
Let's go down to Burdette. Jeremy, listening on Finger Lakes Public Radio. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yes, two things. The large green lawn is a ecological aberration. The geese are going to use that because it's cueing them, their behavior, and it's just not up to the state to help subsidize that gentleman have his large green lawn. It's artificial, and you need to look at the larger ecology of geese behavior, and I would encourage him to lobby for the DEC to do these studies and to change the landscape of his own lawn, because it's just going to attract geese, period. And
I could do that, but where are the geese going to go? They're going to go to my neighbors.
Well, then so it's,
so you want everybody to tear up their lawns? I mean, it's just not doesn't seem practical.
No,
it doesn't seem
up, but you have to, you know. It's an artificial environment, okay? So that's the larger issue. And it is complicated, and I'm not saying tear up, but you have to understand the ecology. And if you don't, then this is what's going to happen.
Okay, but should it happen? Shouldn't there be a way to control these geese?
It's not about should. It's what the geese's behavior are. What the geese behavior is. And you're cueing them in to come in and to use this artificial environment. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but the fact of the matter is everybody on the lake has green lawns. I just happen to have a bigger one.
And that is an ecological problem. That is a problem.
I think it's a problem with the town of South Bristol. Why I'm paying $140,000 a year and I can't use my property, I think that's their problem, too.
But Jeremy is just saying that you're sort of subverting nature, that
yeah,
monoculture lawn...
And it's not up to the town
sure.
to help subsidize you to keep your green lawn, which is going to be an attractant for the behavior of the geese.
Okay, I understand. But why is my assessment at the point where I have to pay $140,000 a year? Because my property isn't worth anywhere near that.
My second point is we can't talk about residential tax rates without looking at corporate tax rates and understanding that corporations, big box stores, come into communities, they hold them for ransom to subsidize and to not pay taxes. They don't really provide a great social service with very low income jobs, and then they're a drain on social services because they don't have benefits. And so we cannot talk about taxes in New York State on a residential level without talking about how corporations basically hold communities
ransom. Well, then we also need to talk about union influence on teacher salaries, about the state employees unions and how they affect it. We have to talk about how the pension plan, the $100 billion plus pension plan, is managed. I mean, it's a big ball of wax. All I'm trying to do here is bring equity to home assessments. And the issue of the geese is really a non-existent issue as far as I'm concerned, as far as this conversation is concerned.
I think he's just saying that green lawns are not natural and that we force them into nature and then we're surprised when geese want to show up and hang out on our lawns and that we shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well, what color should we have our lawn?
Let's get back to the phones and Joanne and Parenton. I'm with Tom Golisano. Go ahead, Joanne.
Tom Golisano, I heard you speak at Victor Chamber of Commerce with your beginnings of paychecks, and I still admire you for the way you independently built this company.
Thank you.
I have a question because I follow Kamita, and I know that Kamita gave a paychecks $3.5 million tax break this past September. $2.5 million of that was her property taxes in on Calkins Road in Henrietta, and $1 million was in sales tax. And my beef with Kamita and Kamita-type entities are that they cherry-pick companies instead of working for a fair, universal reduction in business taxes. They do what they did for paychecks in September, and I was wondering, because you were kind of a self-made man, what do you think of these types of actions, including the one that the paychecks got in September?
You may be surprised to find out that I agree with you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But I'm not the CEO, but another person
yes,
is.
Yes, I do know that, yes.
And the CEO has a responsibility to his shareholders. And if communities, if town governments and village governments and city governments are willing to offer these incentives for these companies to build facilities, how could they not take them? They have an obligation to their shareholders. And if these things are being offered on a platter.
I agree with you on that. It's just that the political system, the Denolfos, the Moore, who just recently got voted out in Henrietta, they are the ones that I would think would be able to offer and to work with companies and get a fair, equitable lowering of taxes so that New York, Monroe County, my own town of Parenton, Henrietta, they're all up for grabs for these types of cherry picking. And I think it's unfair to many, many small and mid-sized businesses that they cannot benefit from that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. But one of the things that we have to deal with is these politicians feel it's important to their careers to get reelected. And one of the reasons they think they can get reelected is by bringing companies and corporations to their jurisdiction. So it's like they think they're doing their community a favor. A lot of the people in the community think they are doing them a favor by building these, by attracting these companies. Look at the New York State going wild over the possible Amazon second headquarters, which I never heard that term before, second headquarters. But all these states were going wild over the opportunity to bring Amazon into their community.
You don't think they should?
I don't know if they should or not, because nobody's told me how much they're offering. You know, if I thought the offerings were reasonable, but I've seen in New York State over time where we've made commitments to companies where it'll take us 50 years to get the money back in tax revenue, you know, from employees. So, you know, a cop politician probably think it'd be a big deal to him and to his career if he can bring in a big company into their community.
Tom's new website is taxmypropertyfairly.com, and in the first 24 hours, he said he had almost 40 people signed up sharing their assessment stories. You can do that there if you want. It could become part of a class action lawsuit.
That's right. They are sharing their stories because they want to be part of the class action suit.
Okay. Let's get back to your phone calls. Tom, no surprise, the phones are going nuts today. This is Dan in Brighton. Go ahead, Dan.
Mr. Golisano, I agree with your getting a tax assessment straightened out. But I've also heard you complain about taxes in general. And I think part of the problem is that the people who govern are bombarded by demands for services. Everybody wants the services and nobody wants to pay taxes. And I have a challenge for you. I'd like you to run for and sit on some governing body. I don't care what it is. It can be from Board of Education to state legislature, even national legislature, and see how hard it is to deny the incessant services. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you, Dan.
You make an interesting point, but you know what? They've got to say no. There is not a level of financial monies available to take care of all the needs that people voice. There just isn't. And a politician's responsibility is to make sure that they keep things within a relative amount of grasp. In other words, let's not give away the house. Let's not try to tax people to the nth. They've got to find the middle ground on when to say no and when to say yes. And in New York State, I'll tell you, they've said yes more than they have no. Now, in deference to the lady that talked about education in Florida, let me give you a couple facts about Florida. Now, I know these because I live there. There are more people in the state of Florida than there are in the state of New York now. New York has become the fourth largest state. The budget in Florida on an annual basis is just about $88 billion. It's New York's budget. Andrew Cuomo is trying to balance it at $158 million.
Billion.
Billion, I'm sorry. So $88 billion compared to $158 billion for the same number of people. Now, you can make the argument, well, the services are better, so on and so forth. But I don't know the total real answer or why there's such a huge gap. But there is a huge gap. And that's why people, especially when they mature out and retire from work, they want to go down there. Because the cost of living is so much less expensive.
I would be remiss if I didn't press one point here. When Dan says he invites you to sit on any government board meeting at any level to understand the demand for services, and your response is government has to learn to say no, that they can't take care of every little thing for people, that there's just not the money for it. But you're asking the government to take care of your geese.
That's an interesting point. I don't have the capability to take care of the geese. And if I take care of them and for my benefit, it's just going to spread to my neighbor's place. So I don't have the power to take care of the geese the way the geese should be taken care of. And really, quite frankly, the way they should be taken care of is their reproduction should be stopped. You don't hurt them, but you don't let them reproduce at the level that they reproduce.
In Fairport, this is Robert next with Tom Golisano. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. The real problem here is the spending. There's really no appetite to reduce spending. I mean, if you look at the school systems, which really account for the majority of property taxation, you've got enrollments dropping, you've got spending increasing, you've got a state tax cap that ignores the effect of pensions, you have local superintendents making $120,000 a year plus in retirement and spending almost none of their own money to fund that retirement. These are the drivers for this problem, and tax assessments and whatnot are that's not the real problem. The real problem is the spending.
It's actually two problems. The spending by far is the largest problem. What we're trying to do with Tax My Property Fairly is to come up with a better equitable system for creating the level of taxation on a per home basis. Because right now the system we have is terrible. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's the total overall spending in this state that creates most of this problem. If our taxes were lower significantly, maybe not a lot of people would be concerned about their assessment. But the fact of the matter is they're very, very high, and it's very, very expensive.
Robert, any disagreement there?
I think that part of the problem is that the property taxes is the primary funding driver for government, too. I think that disproportionately puts the load on property owners to the point where a lot of other people get a free ride. You have in the city of Rochester, you have a situation where maybe 30% to 40% of the square footage, building square footage, could be, you know, nonprofits that they're paying nothing for the cost of government. How should we change that?
Tom?
That's an interesting question. There's a lot of mixed emotion about it because a lot of people feel our nonprofits are very important to the quality of life. Things like, I hate to use this one, performing arts centers or, colleges, universities, public offices. I mean, these are all part of our quality of life. And if we start taxing them, we'd have to find a way to subsidize them for the taxes that they are now paying or would be paying.
Since you opened the door, can you make a little news for us? What's the latest you hear about a performing arts center in Rochester?
Oh, you devil, you.
You're the one who brought it up.
I meant it up jokingly. Quite frankly, I've heard very little about it for the last 2 months. And I'm a little surprised, quite frankly.
Surprised at council?
Lack of activity on the project.
But they've got to get the vote. I mean, the mayor can't bring it to council unless she knows it's got the votes, and there are maybe 3 votes against it. The question is, does she need 7 votes, or does she need a simple majority? I mean, I know it's kind of technical anti-baseball, but are you hearing that there are the votes to get this done, and do you expect this to happen?
I'm not hearing hardly anything, so I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
Does that disappoint you?
To a point, yeah.
Are you going to pull your possible investment in it?
Not thinking about that at all right now.
Okay. See, that wasn't so bad. And you're the one who brought it up. I just want to say for the record. Let me grab Joe and Skinny Atlas. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Joe speaking, Skinny Atlas. And I think the beginning of your program was outstanding when Mr. Galassano talked about the Senate down there in Albany. They talked about the qualifications of these assessors. That's one of the major problems, that these guys, ladies, they take a job for a town, but they take on for a second town and a third and a fourth town, and they get like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, maybe benefits, maybe not, and then they commute maybe probably a six-figure reward, but they don't have the qualifications for the job, and that's a major thing that the state has to consider and put in place. Doctors, nurses, lawyers, teachers, everybody has to have these degrees and backgrounds, whatever, but assessors, no, not in New York State. Major problem. Thank you very much. Great program.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Agree with you wholeheartedly.
Simple as that. Yeah, just are you hearing assessors are overstretched in what they have to do?
I haven't heard that. No.
Okay, so the issue is training.
I think it's training and certification.
Training and certification. Okay, and if you missed the program, part of the program earlier, Tom Galassano said that at least in talking to Senator Funky, I think you said, there's at least the makings of a bill in the New York State level that might require more rigorous training.
Correct.
Okay, and you
hope it passes.
You're going to support that. Mary wants to know, how can we join a class action lawsuit? Tom, you want to explain that again?
Go to Tax My Property Fairly website, and under one of the headings, I think it's ACT, A-C-T, or just jump around until you find it, and there's an actual page that says, are you interested in joining the lawsuit, and you can just sign on.
Okay. Benjamin says, when we moved from Alabama to Rochester, the overall cost of living was not radically higher. So why not take a more holistic look? 3.2% more for these schools and services is a steal.
I don't understand the equation.
I think what he's saying is he lived in Alabama. It sounds like he moved to Rochester and said overall cost of living, yes, property taxes, but also the cost of buying a home, the cost of living, is not appreciably more here when you factor everything in together. So therefore, a 3.2% tax increase annual year to year for schools is a good deal if you're getting the quality that he perceives that we're getting.
It might be if the taxes weren't so high to begin with, and that is the real problem. Capping it at 2% or even this gentleman's suggestion of 3.5% wouldn't be bad if we were much more competitive on the level of taxation to begin with. But when they're already so high, why invoke a 2% cap? Because it doesn't really do any good.
It's like if I had an allowance of $50 and my brother had an allowance of $10, and you said, no, parents said, but from now on, everybody's getting the same allowance, a dollar more. My brother's going, wait a second, that guy already gets a lot more.
Exactly. All right, that's you what, got it. Okay. Nice approach.
Earl in Livonia, we got to keep it tight. Go ahead, Earl.
Yes. I'm not going to talk about tax rates. I'm going to talk about the assessment process. The assessor's office locally is somebody, is one particular person. I've offered my services as a mathematician to bring the technology up so they could do a multivariate way to assess the property. It's just not a simple problem. These people just can't look at a house and say, well, that's what it's worth. So we're never going to get the assessments done correctly until we upgrade the technology to bring it into a multivariate state.
I think that would be very helpful.
I'm sorry. We're running out of time, so I want to ask Earl, thank you for the phone call. In our last 30 seconds, Tom, what's the timeline going forward now? You'll decide if there's actually going to be a class action lawsuit. When, you know, what's kind of, lay out the year for me as you see.
Well, obviously, we're waiting for the general public reaction. We're running ads across the state this weekend, which I think is going to drive a lot of people to the websites. And then when March, April comes along in preparation for the school tax situation and the opportunity for people to plead their cases, then we're going to be much more aggressive on the advertising, too.
Have you been
promoting the website?
And have you been satisfied, we're down our last 30 seconds or so, satisfied or dissatisfied with the response of lawmakers as you talk to them about this at all levels?
The lawmakers I've talked to, and now there are four, I added one this morning, I'm pretty hopeful. You're somewhat hopeful.
Okay. Yeah. The website is taxmypropertyfairly.com. And if you want to learn more, you can get educated on how assessments works, on challenging your assessment, or if you'd like, as several dozen people did in the last 24 hours, you can sign up to be part of potentially a class action lawsuit on this. Tom Golisano, always stimulating to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll have him again soon, we hope, because there'll be a lot more to talk about this. Much more connections coming up next.